Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeehaw! Off and running on this rainy Friday here in the city was a challenge for everyone to get here today. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long bring you hopefully till 6 p.m. when we'll go to pregame coverage of LSU baseball, a 6:30 first pitch scheduled at the box. We'll be keeping tabs on that to see if game one against the Arkansas Razorbacks starts on time. Right now, not looking too great, Jeff.
All right, my question is whether you're going to keep the cowboy energy throughout the show. Is that going to be the theme?
Let's ride right now. That's how I'm looking at it.
It would be very Texas themed, and we have some Texas stuff to talk about. So I mean,
I'm really pumped up. Tomorrow it's Saturday, and we get to go to Saints camp.
That is true.
See
hopefully
the rookies
not,
in action.
Hopefully it's not raining. It's supposed to rain. That would be a lot less fun.
We'll be in the indoor facility. Though. I'm not worried about that.
Exactly. That's not where I want to be. Like 50 degree air conditioning. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Oh, we have a update from the National Weather Service. Charlie's let me know. We're going to go back to the WWL newsroom with an update from Chris Miller. It's Miller time. What you got, Chris?
Flash flood warning for the South Shore, Jefferson, New Orleans, Plaquemines, St. Bernard Parish, also St. Charles Parish from all that heavy rain. That flash flood warning in effect till around 6 p.m., I believe, from the word is from the National Weather Service.
Gotcha. Thank you, Chris.
You got it. Actually, no, that's until 7:15, so they've extended it about a little more than an hour. So there you go. Flash flood warning through 7:15 tonight.
It is nasty out there, folks. Please drive safely. We will be on, like I said, 6 o'clock is when LSU baseball pregame supposed to start. We'll be monitoring things from Alec Box Stadium and get you the latest when we know them. Was talking about rookie minicamp for the Saints tomorrow. We saw a lot of the players getting their helmets, some equipment, gearing up for this weekend. And yeah, you start seeing things all around the NFL with teams doing their rookie camps going on, and just excited to be back in Saintsville since there's a whole lot of new stuff going on.
Yeah, you get these guys into town for the first time, or I assume for the first time, at least officially, and you can sign your contracts. So that's what happened.
Yeah, we heard in the Sports Flash that 6 of the Saints' 9 draft picks have inked their deals, not in the mix currently. Quarterback Tyler Shuck, the defensive lineman Vernon Broughton, and who is the third one?
Jonas Sanker,
the safety.
Yes.
So other than that, the other draft picks are, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, and ready to go for tomorrow. I would imagine we still will see the other three in action. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, they'll be out there. It's usually, you know, those day two picks, there tends to be a little bit more negotiating in terms of guaranteed money on the back end of those deals. Jaden Higgins with the Texans kind of reset the precedent for those contracts. He's the first NFL player ever to sign a fully guaranteed contract as a second round pick. So now if you're a second round pick, which was always, you know, if you recall, like Alante Taylor took forever to sign his contract.
That's what I thought of that right
Isaiah
away.
Foskey took forever to sign his contract. It is not unusual. It's actually the norm for the second round picks to drag out a little more. And now if you're a second round pick and you're negotiating, be like, I want that guy's deal. I want the fully guaranteed contract, especially if you're a quarterback, right? Like you're putting a lot on my shoulders on day one with this team. I should at least have my contract guaranteed. I think that's the minimum. So, you know, I don't know if I'm any second round pick, that's what I'm pushing for. But they'll be out there. It's usually, I'm sure they have to sign a waiver of some kind to practice despite not being officially signed to a contract. But it's the agents going back and forth with the team, and the players are just getting ready.
Action in the NBA playoffs last night. We saw the T-Wolves taking down the Golden State Warriors. Wasn't really a close matchup, and I didn't think it was going to be really good for Golden State, considering no Steph in the mix. And, man, I know they are hoping that Curry gets back sooner rather than later to take a turn from the Saints.
Yeah, if the Warriors won that game, I would start to, like, call BS. It's like someone's doing something, because that would have been, like, what, 8 games without a home team winning? That's the first home team to win a game in this round of the playoffs. The Cavs have lost
two. OKC won the other night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
You're right.
They tied up the series.
So, you know, what are we, 6-2 now? 6-2 for the road team. But yeah, the Cavs are down 0-2. The Celtics are down 0-2. The Timberwolves lost game one, and the Thunder lost game one. So those two series are tied up. But we do not have a single higher seed leading in their playoff matchup after two games. And that's unusual, to say the least.
Looking at things tonight, Jeff, we got the Pacers hosting the Cavs, like you mentioned. Indiana surprising a lot of folks, up 2-0 in that series. They're back in Indy now after taking 2 in Cleveland. And then Nuggets and Thunder, they're tied up 1-1. The game 3 in Denver this evening, that'll be the 9 o'clock tip-off, the late game. Always great for kicking back and conking out watching the late game.
And those two, like, so the second loss by the Cavs and both losses by the Celtics, it's just been like, they just gave games away, right? I mean, you have a 20-point lead in the second half of both of those games, and you blow it if you're the Celtics. The Cavs led by 7 in, like, the final 60 seconds of that game. I didn't even think it was possible to blow a 7-point lead like the way they did. You know, and Tyrese Halliburton, it's so funny when situations like that happen, because Tyrese Halliburton has been getting like, oh, he's overrated. And now he's getting all the praise. The only reason he was in position to hit a game winner is because he missed a free throw in a clutch situation and then got his own rebound. It's always funny. It's like, if he missing that free throw, if he doesn't get the rebound, it's like, wow, he's not clutch. Instead, he gets the rebound and he makes a three. And like, oh, he's so clutch. But it's like, he missed a free throw. If he was clutch, he would have made the free throw and never had that. Anyway, I just think it's funny how those things work. Like, you're a razor's edge from, you know, being the goat or being the scapegoat.
You know, obviously been following this Celtics squad all season long.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And, well, I mean, they've
I actually haven't been paying that close attention because it's been boring. It was kind of like, we're going to get to the playoffs.
Like chucking up a bunch of threes and been making them. And just like you mentioned, these leads that they've been squandering late, it's like, what happened in the fourth quarter to the Celts?
Well, I mean, I think what the Knicks game plan is like, hey, we're going to take away threes throughout the course of the game, stop you from getting into a rhythm, and then we're going to give you threes at the end, and we're just going to hope you're cold and miss. And that's what's happened each of the last two games. Like, they're doing what the Magic did, which is they're switching everything. They're not leaving shooters, and they're daring the Celtics to win on the inside, and they have been doing that. But then, you know, it's kind of like Dan Campbell and the Lions. Like, when you have a philosophy that gets you to a point and suddenly you're in those big moments, are you going to stick to it? Are you going to bail and be like, we have a better chance of scoring if we go to the rim? You know, the Lions, like, we go on fourth down, that's our thing. So then you get into the playoffs in this big high leverage opportunity. It's like, you're still going to do that because that's what you do. You can't be a coward now, but that's what got you to that point. But when you look at it in the Celtics case, and it's like, man, if you just like took a couple layups, you probably would have won that game, won both of those games. I still think they win the series. But I think you kind of get back to the thing with the Celtics of like, why didn't they win a title before last year? It was because every series that should have been over in 5 went to 6. Every series that should have been over in 6 went to 7. And then by the time they got to the finals, they were exhausted. I think that's what you're going to have again.
So game 3 in New York is tomorrow.
Yeah. I think that's a must-win for the Knicks.
You know MSG is going to be rocking.
And they're going to be so sad when they lose by 30.
You said that last for game 2.
No, I mean, they weren't in New York in game 2.
I thought you said the Celtics were going to win game 2 by 30.
They've led both games by 20. They're the better team. They just need to stop doing their thing. Anyway.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Coming up this hour, we're going to be talking to Nick Friedel, NBA insider. Help us break that all down with the NBA playoffs. Also, the upcoming draft lottery on Monday. Talking about some of those prospects other than Cooper Flagg, who you want to be familiar with. Then the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get to some Saints rookie camp preview. Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times, Picayune and Advocate, will join us. And hopefully at 6, we'll get to some LSU baseball pregame coverage as they get ready to host the Hogs in Alec Box Stadium. Big SEC matchup for the Tigers. We'll be talking about that and a whole lot more. You can tune in on the chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Be back with more after this. Stay tuned on this rainy Friday on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, getting ready to talk to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel coming up soon. Want to check in with our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line right now, though. Walter on the West Bank, you're first up on this Friday. What you got for us today, Walter?
Okay, guys, I got to ask you a question, okay? And Vegas is pretty right. For the last 2 years, they won 2 games Vegas predicts the Saints to win their division plus 800. You put up $100 to win 800.
Right.
Saints haven't had that in the last 10 years. Or they predict the Saints to be that bad? They predict to win something like 6.5 games this year.
Yeah,
because they think Carr's not playing and we're going to go with a rookie quarterback. You think that's why the odds are so bad?
Yeah, the odds right now for the Saints to win the NFC South are 7-1. Carolina Panthers 4-1. Atlanta Falcons 2-1. And those defending back-to-back-to-back-to-back champs, Tampa Bay, even odds.
Yeah, I just think there's not a lot of confidence in the Saints right now. Which why would you have confidence in the Saints if you're Vegas, right? Now, if you can be an optimistic Saints fan all you want, and I root for the Saints to win the NFC South. If you've already given up on winning the NFC South, why bother? But I mean, yeah, if I'm sitting in a casino in Nevada, I'm like, oh yeah, that's throwing money away, right?
For putting money on the Saints?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good bet if you're like going a long odds bet.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, if you're looking for a 8-1 bet that could potentially pay off big and isn't outside of the realm, there aren't that many plus 800 bets.
Tampa's got the South on lock.
Right. Like, I mean, they've won it with 9 wins, 10 wins.
Right.
I think they're primed for a regression, to be completely honest. But, you know.
Yeah, hopefully Baker goes boom.
There are worse ways to throw away $20, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, as long as you're not putting the kids' tuition on it.
Yeah. Don't do that. But no, I mean, like, go look at all the plus 800 bets that it's like there's some really bad bets you can make for those odds. Like, at least this is one that you could say has a chance of happening because you just got to win games. In bunches. Like, you need to get on a winning streak. It's something the Saints have just never done since Sean Payton retired, is win like 3+ games in a row.
Looking at some teams to win their division that have steeper odds than the Saints, you got the New York Giants 20-1. Las Vegas Raiders are a 16-1. Tennessee Titans 8-1. Not that big of a difference, but Cleveland Browns 22-1 and the New York Jets are 10-1.
Yeah. When you come in last in your division, you're not going to get good odds to win it the following year. It's a solid rule. It doesn't mean you won't.
Right.
But, yeah, I think the only 3-game winning streak the Saints have been on since Sean Payton retired was weeks 15 through 17 in the 2022 season. It was that run where you beat the Browns and the Eagles, and there was one other team in there the week prior. Like, that was the only time they won 3 games in a row in the entirety of the Dennis Allen era, which is crazy. Like, you went 9-8 one season.
Right.
You still couldn't win 3 games in that season. You won 4-5, but there was that loss sandwich in there to the Rams. So, I mean, that's like, to win your division, you have to get on a winning streak at some point. You don't have to win 8 games in a row. You don't have to win 10 games in a row. You don't have to go 14-3. But you do.
Figure 10 wins, you do need to have that 10 win total.
You need to have at least, I mean, like, yeah, like mathematically,
yeah.
You could go 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1 and get there. But in most cases, you need to get on a run. And this Saints season, they're going to have an easy schedule. And anytime you finish fourth in your division, unless you're the Giants, you're going to have one of the easiest schedules. The Giants don't have the luxury of playing themselves, so that's why they do not have an easy schedule, and they play in the NFC East against the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Commanders. But the Saints don't do that. The Saints play a Falcons team that everyone loves, but I don't buy. Until the Falcons prove to me they can have a winning record.
No, they need to prove it for sure.
They haven't had a winning record since 2017. Think about that. It's been a decade since the Falcons have won 9 games in a season.
Charlie, what'd you want to say?
Yeah, Vegas doesn't buy the Falcons either.
Yeah,
as far
it's true.
You know, Walter's over-under win total. The Saints and Panthers are both at 6.5.
Yeah.
Falcons at 7.5, and the Buccaneers at 9.5 via BetMGM, guys.
Yeah, Las Vegas, man. They you know, do a good job. That's why they got all those fancy hotels out there.
Yeah, they make money. You know, they're not in the business of losing money. But, no, I mean, the funny thing is, like, the Saints, at what point would you feel safe as a Saints fan? Like, if you won the first 2 games, usually at 2-0 start, you'd be like, oh, we're going to do big things. Well, they started 2-0 each of the last 2 years.
The bruised and battered black and gold fans don't get too excited right now. They know better.
No, and after that game in Dallas, you were like, oh, this is it. This is the year. Oh, I
was ready to go as Clint Kubiak for Halloween.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, a 2-0 start in the Kellen Moore era would be nice. But I think we'd have to wait before. I think we've been hurt too many times to be like, okay, we've arrived.
We were all damaged.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some NBA playoff chatter with Odyssey insider Nick Friedell. So stay tuned right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are chatting about the NBA playoffs going on right now, and also Monday, the draft lottery. Hopefully those ping pong balls fall in the Pelicans' favor. To help us break it all down, one of our favorites, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai, where you put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, how you doing today, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, and it's always great to be with you guys.
I appreciate you, man. And like, we're looking at these playoffs in the second round. We're, you know, kind of nutty with these home teams. We're not being so successful early on. We've, you know, gotten a few wins now, but seeing what's happened with the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics have easily been the biggest surprise right now, the second round of this NBA playoffs going on.
Completely. I mean, the Cavs, I was never that high on.
Right.
I've never believed that they were going to get all the way through the East, and especially with the injuries that they're dealing with now, it feels like a really, really rough place for them to try to get through this series against the Pacers. The Celtics thing, that just stuns me, because I have believed and still believe, as we get set for Game 3 here tomorrow, the Celtics are just a better team than the Knicks, top to bottom. Talent-wise, they match up well. They have, you would think, what can slow down New York, but the Knicks have toughness. Over and over, we have seen them go down 20 in these games, and they start knocking down shots. Jalen Brunson is an unbelievably clutch player. It's why he won the award in the league this season. But when you watch them, you think, I just can't get over the fact that they're missing all these shots, and you would think that there'd be a regression back to the mean for both sides. So the Cleveland one, that was a complete meltdown in Game 2. They do not look like a team that is ready-made to go roll through Indiana four games straight and get the series back. The Boston one is a shocker, but I still think they have enough talent to get through this series, but that means that tomorrow at Madison Square Garden is going to be an insane atmosphere, and it's going to be really, really tough for them to do it.
Yeah, I've seen some memes comparing the current Cavs to the Hawks rosters that won all those games and never did anything in the playoffs, the Jeff Teague Hawks, and it's like they're in danger of becoming that if they don't, you know, turn things around in this series. What do you make of the Kristaps Porzingis situation? It just seems so bizarre to not know in this big of a moment why the star center that you paid all that money and kind of is the X factor, in my opinion, that is impossible to match up with, is just, you know, not able to play. Like, he's not visibly ailing, but apparently he's having upper respiratory issues. I don't know. It just seems like such a bizarre side plot to what has been this terrible collapse of these last two games.
It is, and I think the point is very well taken, because the issue for the Celtics, and we saw it certainly at times last year when they went all the way and won, Porzingis brings just a completely different element to that team. He stretches out the floor. He can knock shots down from the outside. He can get in front of guys because he is such a big body. And to not really know, it's just weird. It's a weird situation. But in the moment, they just have to go with what they have and go with who's available and who's healthy enough to get out there. But I'm with you in this sense. In this day and age, it's just a weird situation to see this kind of thing play out. But the Celtics have enough talent that even without Porzingis, if they made a couple more shots in both of these games, we're not even having the conversation, because they've gotten through one and two. They did what they were supposed to do. But now you've got to figure, if he doesn't come back, I mean, I keep saying I think Boston's going to win, and and Boston's going to do it. But if he doesn't come back at that same level we're used to seeing, well, then you start to believe that maybe this is the next time, and maybe we are headed for a New York in the Eastern Conference Finals again in the postseason like we did in the good old days.
Yeah, you know, and the 25 for 100 from three-point range for the Celtics is not only wild, it's also an NBA record for the most taken threes and missed threes in a two-game stretch. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk this year about, is all this three-point shooting bad for the game? I don't know. I don't know if it's bad for the game necessarily, but what do you think? I think it's boring to watch. Like, I think one of the reasons it can be hard to sell the NBA at times is, like, it becomes a three-point shooting competition. Because, like you said, like, the Celtics make a couple of these threes, they win both these games, but it's still, like, you know, okay, you have a wide-open lane to the hoop, but you're just standing there bricking your 10th three of the night if you're Jason Tatum. I don't know. Like, I think the product does suffer to some extent when you are just chucking threes the way the Celtics do.
I absolutely agree, especially aesthetically, the way the game is played now. And this is certainly deeper than just the Celtics in this moment. But we've seen it for the last few years, guys. I mean, teams just chuck up threes. The analytics say three is more than two. And yeah, even if
it's not wrong,
you two pointers, then keep chucking. You know, they'll fall down eventually. For the viewer, though, and for the fan who's sitting in the arena, it does look a little bit boring. What I would say as the counterpoint specific to the Celtics conversation now is it's so clear the intensity is so much different in the playoffs, and it's tangible when you're watching these games on the television. It just matters a little bit more to all these guys. And to me, on top of the three-point issue, which is a very, very large problem in the regular season, the NBA has got to find some way to ramp up the intensity level just a little bit in these regular season games so that they look more like these postseason games. I don't remember if it was Mike Breen or one of the other announcers in the last couple of weeks, but he said playoff basketball looks like a different sport. And it really is the truth. And I think part of that is the intensity, and part of it is we're not seeing as many threes, but to what we're talking about with Boston, that is the game plan. That is how they choose to operate. And they are going to live and die by the three. And through two games, they've died by it.
Nick, looking at the West side of things, Thunder and Nuggets, Timberwolves and Warriors all evened up at a game apiece. Denver was able to steal that one game in OKC and then just got throttled in the second matchup. And when we saw for the Warriors, Steph Curry go down, figured things weren't going to be easy for Golden State now going forward in that series, but the Timberwolves still not looking that impressive.
They are not, and if you're a Warriors fan, guys, all you have to hope is that they can find a way to win one of these next two in San Francisco, because if you do that, you open up the runway a little bit more for Steph to potentially return. The thing that scares me for the Warriors, though, if you're dealing with a hamstring injury, and certainly we've seen it in the NBA, but this is anywhere. This is the NFL. This is baseball. If you've got a hamstring injury, that is just about the trickiest thing that you can have to come back from, especially in this short of a timeline. Because if this were the regular season, I'd step out at a minimum 2-3 weeks, because they're not going to mess with it, because they're going to say, we don't want him to re-injure it and then sit out longer. Of course, the postseason changes the elements there a little bit, but I just don't know when he does return, if he's able to come back in this series, if he even looks the same, because his game is built on cutting and shooting from all over the place and changing direction. And when you've got a hamstring injury, that is a real big problem. So I think the Warriors are in trouble. As much as I like Jimmy Butler and a core of that team, even though Minnesota has looked great. And on the other side, OKC has been so good for so long this season. I think that Jokic can get one of these games in Denver. To me, guys, he's still the best player in the game. It would just still surprise me if OKC didn't find a way to win this series and at least get themselves to the Western Conference Finals.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second.
Nick, I'm going to hop in here. The draft lottery is officially a couple nights away. On Monday night, it's going to be a big one. I want to get your thoughts on some of the top prospects. I know we've had you on before. It's a really good draft class, which is like the shining light of the Pelicans having a 21-win season this past year, is that they're likely going to get a stud prospect at the top of the draft, especially if they get lucky and roll the 50-50 and get into the top four. But first and foremost, we've talked to you already a little bit about Cooper Flagg, the quote-unquote gold chip prospect of this draft class. I just want to get your evaluation of him and what makes him so special.
Totally. I think the key with Cooper Flagg is when you watch him play, he plays already at this age like the top-tier stars in the league, in that he can get to the rim, he can hit from the outside, he's a difference maker in a variety of different areas. And I think the best way to answer the question about Flagg, for people who haven't paid as much attention to the college game, when you start talking to NBA personnel across the league and Cooper Flagg's name gets brought up, the list of people that they'd be willing to trade right now to get him is very, very long. There just aren't a lot of guys that are like him and can have that type of immediate impact. And when you're in those kind of draft situations, those are the guys that you look for the most. We saw in the hype with Wembanyama a couple years ago, certainly. Y'all understand down there in New Orleans what Zion could be. I don't think he's going to be that player anymore, but the hype that comes when you get that type of guy and how quickly things can change when it happens. Cooper Flagg, when he comes in the NBA, is instantly going to be one of the very best players. And it is crazy to think that it could happen that fast for him to elevate, but that is what NBA people are banking on, that not only is he really, really good right now and he's going to help a team immediately, 2 or 3 years from right now, if he can stay healthy, he is going to be one of the very best stars that the NBA offers.
A 12.5% chance, Nick, for those lottery balls to fall the Pelicans' way, and I will be dreaming about
it. That's all it takes.
Oh, yeah, it really is. But, I mean, I wanted to also get your thoughts because you talked about the folks that don't necessarily pay attention to college hoops. And what's really fascinating about this draft class is because it's so highly touted, but at the same time, the next two guys on the list for a lot of folks, at least number two is kind of solidified, I think, with Dylan Harper from Rutgers, but Ace Bailey, the forward from Rutgers as well. Like, Rutgers was terrible this past year. They didn't even make the NCAA tournament. For the folks that watched Duke get all the way to the Final Four, you kind of got a little bit of an experience of Cooper Flagg, even if you didn't pay attention during the regular season. But for the folks that didn't get a chance to watch Rutgers this year, I want to get your thoughts first and foremost on Dylan Harper, the point guard, the big point guard, the son of Ron Harper. He's got the NBA bloodlines there. But I want to get your thoughts on him because it feels like he's established himself as that number two guy in this draft.
There's no question. And Charlie, when you watch Harper play, he has the ability to hit you a little bit from the outside, but he can be physical. He can get to the rim. And I think the bloodline part is key because if you have been in an NBA setting all your life as the son of Ron Harper and you know what to expect when you get into the league, I don't think the learning curve then becomes as great as it usually is for any top prospect. So I think that is a part of it. But the point about Rutgers is important here because if you have Dylan Harper, who it seems is going to be the number two pick, and Ace Bailey, we'll see where he falls in the top five, the top 10, wherever. How in the world is that team still so bad this year? I mean, that's what scares me. We saw Ben Simmons 2 years back at LSU, and we see how his career has played out after a really good start. But the flip side is, Ant Edwards at Georgia, they really didn't do much, and that dude is unbelievable. So that factors into all of this as well. As far as Harper and Bailey, give me Harper from what I've seen every single time. Bailey has the talent. You wonder when you watch him if he has the ability in the NBA to do it night after night after night. And that is the difference, guys, to me. When you watch Cooper Flagg, there's not much of a question that he's going to be able to put those type of performances together every night. With Harper, he has that type of talent to learn how to be that guy every night. After that, that's where I think the drop-off becomes, at least for any star player, that's going to be able to have that type of immediate impact that any team wants when they get those high picks.
And then with Bailey, right before we let you run, Nick, I mean, I've seen some tape on him. My friend and I have different like thoughts on what his NBA comp is. I talked with you about this off air that, you know, his measurement at next week's combine, which is going to be in your backyard in Chicago, is going to be a huge deal. If he comes in at 6'8", like that's a lot different than him coming in at 6'10". Cause I don't know about you, but when I watch him, I kind of see BI a little bit. Like they always talk about, oh, the shot selection with Ace Bailey's kind of up in the air. He takes a lot of tough shots, but he also is pretty good at making those tough shots. And he's got an advanced game offensively, but, you know, it goes back to like the analytics of the shots that he's taking. Just want to get your thoughts on Ace Bailey as well.
Well, I think Bailey has the ability, but Charlie, again, that's what scares me. And I mean, you and I have talked about BI for several years now. A really, really talented player. But do you know exactly what you're getting from him every single time? I mean, Brandon Ingram, if Bailey can hit close to where Brandon Ingram is, more power to him. That makes a lot of sense. I just don't think Bailey is that type of player or has shown to be yet. And he's got the talent to kind of piece it together. But again, when you talk to the scouts, you talk to the people that watch Rutgers a lot during the regular season, they said there were nights when he showed you all the different things that he could do and was really, really talented. And then there were nights that he just kind of disappeared. And those are the nights that would scare any draft person in the league, because what you need from any type of prospect is the consistency to deliver. Even if you're not knocking down those shots, play some defense, do other things. And that's what scares me the most about Bailey. He is not ready-made, certainly like Cooper Flagg, but I don't even think it's that close between where he's at and where his teammate Harper's at from Rutgers.
Nick, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Love hearing you break down ball, and have a great weekend, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Taking a break. Be back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Waiting to hear more on LSU baseball. Supposed to be a 6:30 first pitch, 6 o'clock pregame coverage. Right now, that's still on. We'll keep updating you here on Sports Talk. Heading to the top of the hour news break and be back with more talking Saints rookie camp with Matthew Parris of the Times-Picayune coming up after the break. So stay tuned here on WWL.